This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope.
How many years would it take to drive back and forth to Montana, hauling back in a pickup truck pieces of Crazy Mouse?
And the Bulldog.
This is me. Hi, I'm Chris. Because I'm a maniac. I'm irresponsible. And I'm bad with money. And, you know, I drink too much sometimes. So I don't make good decisions.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, so that's new. Kyle Duggar. Field Yates with the update, with the story of ESPN, he writes, likely to end up on the reserve COVID list. Status unknown. Field Yates used to work for the Patriots. Joe, you a Field Yates guy?
Yeah, I like Field Yates.
I like him. BD, what about you? Field Yates. Go ahead. Take your time. Just stretch out on the subject of Field Yates.
It's not real effective for me to just be quiet. You've mentioned a couple times how no one's responding. So like, I'm just going to sit here.
That's right.
I'm just going to sit here. But, you know, that's not really effective radio, and it's a long way to go to make a joke that's not even that funny.
Make a call!
Fine, I mean, whatever. I'm not, I don't, you know.
Fine.
Field Yates, he seems fine. Yeah, fine. I mean, I'm not a devout follower. I'm not looking up what he has to say before the 1 o'clock kickoffs on Sundays to make sure my lineup would meet with his approval or anything. But you know, fine.
He's there if you need him.
Yeah,
he's got a good Instagram. Field Yates.
Does he?
Yeah, a lot like football stuff and not like oh look at me. Kind
good.
Of Instagram.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You want to avoid that.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that.
Am I missing the boat on not being active on Instagram? I have an account, but I mean, I don't ever do anything on that.
No. I can think of two friends who never joined Facebook, and I'm telling you, if I go back, right? Like,
yeah.
What a great decision that was by them. And okay, so I don't see pictures of their kids. You know?
Right. Okay.
What a great decision. How prescient that was. What? 20 years ago? Not that. 15 years ago? To just not sign up for Facebook when everybody was? How prescient was that decision? What a great decision. Instagram's the same thing. I mean, I posted my trip pictures and sunset pictures on Instagram. That's it. Like, the only thing I ever do with any of it now is that. Mm-hmm. And then links to, you know, podcasts or different shows on Facebook. That's it. I got nothing to say ever again on Facebook. Just never, ever. No, done.
Mostly I use it to keep people up to date on assuming they care. I mean, what's going on with Owen or really the family, and that's it. I ignore, you know, whatever. I don't know. All the stuff that makes people crazy that I'll sometimes see people complaining about, I get maybe it's just one of the benefits of being in this job is that I've learned maybe a long time ago and maybe the hard way in some ways to ignore stuff that is useless. So I just don't pay any attention to the junk. I just don't bother.
You and I could really help people. We could teach a course on this.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, really, like, I think we've both learned and are really good at that. Just sort of, I've joked about this before, like when somebody says something really nasty about the show, half the time I agree with it.
Right.
Oh, the show's terrible. I know it was.
Yeah.
But I don't want to agree with it and then have you think, I kind of like Today's show or something, or just, you know, I've got no interest in sort of having the conversation in front of everybody. So just, I'll just think like, you know, yes or no, whatever, and then it's over.
Yeah. I mean, I recognize the poison trap that a lot of this stuff can be in a lot of ways that are important. And that, you know, I'm not like excusing that or I ignore that content, but I'm not ignoring the idea that there's, you know, it's a misinformation dump and it can be harmful in serious ways. But for me, like, all of that, again, that's why I ask about, I sincerely ask the question about Instagram, because I just don't, it's never something I got really comfortable using, and I just don't really use it. But I mostly enjoy having my Twitter account and my Facebook account. I use it, I feel like, for good.
For
like
good.
It's not a drag on my life, because I think I have a good filter.
Twitter is different for me. And you so often hear just like it get dragged for, you know, obvious reasons as well. But, man, there are a lot of smart people there. There's much to learn about whatever your hobbies are, the world, you know, people. There's a lot of that that's really great. And I would miss that. I would probably feel like I'm out of touch. I do not feel that way at all about Facebook. I don't feel like I ever learn anything useful on Facebook. But except, you know, like it's somebody's birthday, which I won't have remembered otherwise, and that's useful. I have to count that. But Twitter, like, no. I mean, football, for instance, like our work, tons of – it's way more possible to really know what's happening than without it. I mean, I feel that way anyway. I feel like it's great. You know, of course, X percent, it's too high a number of people commenting on whatever it is are just – They're either just to mess with you, or they're just completely wrong. Like, it's just insane how high that number is. But still, like, who's there for that? Like Field Yates, for example, that's how this started, right? He tweeted about how this Patriots player is headed for the COVID list. The first comment is the NFL is rigged. Like, that's it. That's the whole comment. The NFL is rigged.
Right, because
that's the thing that guy thinks he would say. I see it only because I'm not going to scroll down. It's just, it appears on the screen. There's enough space under his tweet for the first comment to appear. And the first comment is the NFL is rigged, all caps. So, you know, it's serious. The guy is serious.
Yes,
like right. what are you doing? Like, what is that at all? Who cares?
Yeah.
What purpose is that serving for you, for anyone else? None. Like, what is that? It's just a joke. So, you know, there's like, whatever, is it 80% of that is this or whatever the number is, 99? Like, it's sadly way, way, way too high, but you don't need it. You don't need it at all. You just ignore it or mute it or just bypass it. And, you know, you use the site for what it's good for, which is there's a lot.
Right. Yeah, the Doug Farrar's Keith Moon isolated drum track from the Real Me.
There you go.
Like, I would have never gone and sought that out on YouTube, but you know, that was cool to see it. Look at that. Cool. I mean, it's hardly life altering, but you get the point.
Like, it's a good thing.
I'm all right over here with all of it. You know, I especially think I know I've said this before, and I'm sure I've even said it on days where we were talking about Gord Downie or David Bowie or Prince passing away. Days like that, I think it's like the very best that site can be. Yeah, I just feel like I hear from people, and I think we all hear from one another who are like-minded, and, you know, there can be harm in just having a like-minded hive, of course, but like when you're talking about, you know, a death, a celebrity death, a famous artist death that is affecting you, it feels good to know that you have a lot of company.
Right.
And those sites are great for that, and, you know, I guess I'm very much glass half full on that, and just ignore the stuff that isn't going to really do anything for me other than make me mad if I stare at it.
Here's to that. Let's talk to Mark next. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mike. I wanted to share some memories with you about that Rams game in 80. There's interesting commonalities between the two of us. I, too, grew up on Grand Island. I'm 58 now, so the interesting part about that game is that this was the first time that my buddy and I got to go to the game without our parents.
Oh.
And as I recall, it was a pretty wintry day, and both sets of parents were freaked out about us driving because, you know, we're 16.
Right.
And wasn't that the game that, I don't know if it was Ben Williams or Isaiah Robertson that kind of broke Varagamo's ribs on one play?
I don't remember. I remember the score. I remember that it was in overtime. I remember the conga line after the game. I was not there
right,
for that, but that's sort of a famous Bills clip. And that's about it. I do know who the broadcast team was because I think it's kind of cool trivia if you're into that.
We weren't listening to
it. Yeah, no, me either. The TV broadcast that day in Buffalo was Vin Scully and George Allen.
Wow.
Oh, that is interesting.
Right? Like Vin Scully was here. So you were at that game. I was at that game, and Vin Scully was at that game.
Wow. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, go ahead. Do you have something else?
No, I was just going to say thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you, Mark. I don't think I've ever seen that game. 80 Rams Bills 10-7. I don't think I've ever seen that game on YouTube.
Yeah.
The Bills are not that well represented on YouTube. It's all, like tons of Cowboys, tons of Dolphins, Raiders, Browns, I think. Like there's some teams are always come once you pick one, then they think you want to watch that team. So that's kind of how it seems to be, but like, there's plenty of Bills games to watch, and when you get more recent, you know, there might be all of them. I don't know. But where I'm interested is like mid-70s through mid-80s, because that's, you know, you're at that age where you're starting to watch it, and it's the broadcast is interesting, the uniforms, the players, the game is very different. The game is really slow compared to now. Like, it's just, clock management really has not been invented yet in the 80s.
You've got 87 Bills-Eagles on here, though.
87 Bills, that's in Philadelphia. 87 Bills-Eagles. Okay. Eagles win.
17-7, it says in the description.
Yeah. Maybe the last game of the year.
Yep. Week 15.
Okay, not quite. Yeah, you know, I'm sort of a geek for those
first
things.
First game you went to on your own. Do you have a memory for that?
Well, I'm not sure it's right, but when maybe the same thing triggered that for you when the guy said we were allowed to drive to the stadium by ourselves.
Right.
It might have been, it probably was the Jet game in 88 when they clinched.
Okay. Yeah.
When I was on the field. It was the first time I might have been allowed to go to a game on my own, and I ended up on the field. That's not great. Or is it? Maybe that is great.
No,
I was listening.
That's what you want, I think.
We trust you to go to this game with your friends and not us. Great. You get home. How did it go? Oh, I got the net.
Yeah.
I've got the net from the field. What?
Like, don't worry. We didn't get arrested.
You. Right. We trusted you.
Right.
We said you could do this. You're saying you were on the field. Yeah, but just for like half an hour, not for too long.
The cops grabbed us, but they let us go. Right. It was no big deal. No charges. It's fine. It's no big deal.
We didn't get in trouble.
Right.
Where did you get that net? I took it.
Yeah. Michael, it's not yours to take.
That's right. Give it back. No.
Well, everybody was taking it. Uh-huh.
I'm sure I used that line.
Right.
Everybody was doing it. Mom.
Right. Yep. And you know what you hear after that, of course. Yeah.
I was not. There were, I don't know, four or six of us who were there together, also in the end zone. And I was not the one. This was rare for me, and I think you would think this. I was not the guy in my group who was the most reluctant about charging the field, about going on the field. I was not.
Okay. All right.
I was kind of up for it.
Hmm. You're a rules guy.
I am a rules guy, and this surprises me.
It's a little bit of a surprise to me, too.
It's not like me, yes.
You weren't the guy going, I don't know, guys.
At that age, I would have done it anyway. Like, as an adult, or maybe in, like, the last 10 years especially, I would have just left. Like, just no. It's my, no. Simple, no. But then I was sort of, like, excited. Like, you know, all right, let's go. Let's charge the field. Look at this guy. He's charging the field. My friend is doing it. My parents like him. He's charging the field. At worst, I'm going to be able to say, he went too. Maybe that's not the actual worst that could have happened.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you did great. I mean,
I did great.
And
yes.
And it's one of those things that you might have felt like you could get in trouble, and maybe your parents did get upset with you. But all these years later, I mean, it's just to me, it's awesome that you did it. That you were on the field. Like I every time you bring that up, I smile a little. Just because it's such a memorable. I mean, the Bills are good, really, and they've clinched the division. It's only November, and like it's a very cool thing. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, what we went through last year with the Bills.
This is not such a game, is it?
A storm the field game? No, yeah. We'd look like chumps storming the field if the Bills win this
But
game.
Didn't Sean McDermott remind us that the Patriots are in first place?
Yes, he did. That's right.
Shouldn't we act like it?
Yeah, no. That's not no. That doesn't that would be overreaching. I would not agree with that.
I agree. Like there is, maybe we're like-minded. I think there is a certain standard for a charge the field game, and week 13 ain't it when you were in the AFC championship.
No, clinching the division, even if that happens at home, isn't it?
Right.
If you are lucky enough to host the AFC title game and win it to go to the back to the Super Bowl,
maybe.
Storm away.
You say yes to that. Okay.
I mean, I'm saying yes to that. I don't want to be necessarily encouraging people to do that sort of thing. But like that to me, if I'm watching anything short of that, I'm going to go, oh, come on. Come on. But if it were that, then I'd go, hey, you know what? Be careful.
If it happens Monday night, you and I are going to talk about how embarrassing it was.
Oh, yeah. Chump City.
Chump City.
Does that even happen ever in the NFL?
Well, it could still happen in the NFL, right? It could still happen. Last time you saw it, I don't know.
Could it? Or would they, like...
I don't know.
Is there security measures to prevent that?
Baseball will bring the horses out and the whole thing, right? That's how Wade Boggs ends up on a horse when he's with the Yankees.
There was a horse out there.
One of my least favorite images in the history of sports is Wade Boggs riding around on the back of that horse.
Exactly. He didn't take the horse with him to the game that day.
Right. But anyway, yeah, the horses are there. I don't know. I don't feel like that happens in football, but yet you don't see it, you know, that much in the NFL, if ever, really.
You always
see it in
college.
Joe asked a good question. Does it happen in the NFL anymore? I don't even know.
Yeah, it always happens in college.
Yeah.
I mean every week it seems.
Every week.
I can't think of one time where I've seen an NFL field get rushed by anybody. Other than like seeing pictures of the Bills and Dolphins in the 80s.
1988 when Mike was there.
80
they clinched the division.
80 against the Dolphins, 88 against the Jets. Early 90s once or twice.
By the way, Sal texts and he thinks week 15, 87 was the last game of the season because of the strike shortage.
Good job, Sal. Good job, Sal. There's a guy who would know. Let's go to Brad next. Hi, Brad.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is one of my favorite radio programs, and I love the good conversation you guys have.
Thank you.
Mike, you were just talking about the broadcast tidbits, and I'm a big nerd about broadcast ephemera. I mean, if I'm bored, I'll pull up a YouTube video of the NFL on CBS theme from 1998. But the interesting thing to me is how much, when you're saying the game has changed and how it looks, as a football viewer, it's incredible how different it is now. When I'm 34, I'm sort of a latecomer into being really into the Bills, but it's interesting how much of the game, like I'm watching a play, I'm looking at the play clock, what the down is, how many yards, how many times outs there are. And back in the day, you watch an old broadcast of the NFL on NBC, you get a quick flash of third and five, and then it's just the play. And it's just so interesting to me how game clock management, all that is so integral to the NFL. And yet back in the day, a casual viewer, you don't really even know what's going on from play to play.
That's true.
No, you had to keep track of it in your head. Like, you just had to pay attention. Like, I don't remember being ever really confused as a kid watching these games without all those graphics, but it definitely was, you know, it was work. Like, you had to really pay attention and listen for what, you know, the guy is going to say, third and five. And, okay, now I know. Right? I can look at 5 yards. Okay, they're at the 25. They need the 30. And no yellow lines and all that stuff. And, you know, it's funny, like, growing up watching the sport that way, when a lot of that stuff was introduced, I mean, I'm going back far enough in this to, you know, to the mid-90s, starting my BEN show in 95, and the, like, all of this technology coming and arguing about whether we needed it. I don't need cluttering up the screen. I don't need the score on there all the time. I know what's happening. I don't need your help. And now, I mean, I would be lost without all that stuff. We're just completely lost.
Yeah. Not to mention out of town, too. Remember the,
right.
the 10-minute ticker?
Right. Yeah, that was state-of-the-art.
We would have timed that in my house.
Yeah.
What? How close are we to the 10-minute ticker? There'd be a commercial, and they'd have to wait.
Yep. You remember the game in 90 that Reich has to play? It's after that giant Saturday game. And
Dolphins.
Reich has to play the Dolphins for the division. I'm in New Haven, Connecticut. We're getting Patriots, Jets, or something else.
Some crap.
The Patriots. Like, they're ever going to be good? What a joke.
Some
the
crappy,
Patriots.
Meaningless
All
game.
Right, so, December of 90, I sat in my apartment in New Haven watching the Jets and the Patriots. It doesn't matter. For the 10-minute ticker. For the Bills score.
Yeah.
That was my best idea. There was no going to a bar. There was no getting it on the radio. I did catch a couple games that year on the radio, but that year I did not have access to that game on the radio, and I just sat there watching a different game, waiting every 10 minutes for that score, and then occasionally there was a highlight.
Right.
That was it.
Best you could do.
Yeah.
That was the best you could do, Joe.
By the way, people are tweeting in the last time that NFL fans stormed the field was 1998 when the Cardinals made the playoffs at 9-7 for the first time in 16 years.
The so it's Cardinals.
Been, it's been over 20 years, and it was Cardinals fans the last time it happened.
Wow. We're definitely not proposing that it should happen. Quite the opposite. No, it's not a big enough game for that. If there is any more a big enough game for that. Okay. We'll do the update here next. The thing you were mad about, feels like the show needs that right now. Very friendly tone right now. We got to change that.
Do me a favor. During this break, text me to remind me what I was mad about so I can get ready to talk about what I was mad about. I just don't remember what I was mad about.
Oh, it was fine. It was serious.
It'll be better if I'm not reminded.
Maybe I'll wait a day, actually.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It needs to happen, actually. The Sabres' next game is tomorrow night at 7, 6 o'clock pregame in Florida. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. You can reach us at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Yeah, I think, this is something I've said since I was in college because we never had it, but I think, like, maybe some music would help. But we have music in the warm-ups, and that's always fun. People are dancing, having fun, so I think maybe music would make practice a little more fun and a little more up-tempo. That's my one suggestion, but Coach T's been doing this a lot longer than I have, so.
Well, Mike Claypool suggested yesterday that he would like to have more fun at practice, maybe play some music. I'm suggesting you're not going to oblige his request.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
What's your instinct there? Team Tomlin or Team Claypool?
I think Team Claypool, because I think Tomlin came off sort of like too much of a jerk there. You know, like, stay in your lane, receiver. I don't know. He just seemed a little jerky to me.
I feel like the head coach should have the say over how practice.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't like how he. It felt like he unnecessarily stay in your lane, kid. I don't know. I didn't like his tone.
The proper division of labor. Some comment.
I don't know. Just didn't like how he sounded there.
Interesting to hear how the reporter framed it too. Claypool said he wants to have more fun at practice. Okay.
But then he threw in, I'm guessing you're not going to oblige.
That too, but like he's talking about playing music.
Yeah.
Which is, that's how Claypool would put that, is more fun at practice. Because more fun at practice sounds like, no, it's practice, actually. It's right. It's not, you know, recess. So I kind of want the coach to make that point. All right. I always want to be on the player side nowadays. I just always want to be on the player side. But sometimes I got to think it through and make sure that I'm right in wanting to be on the player side. Because the players don't always deserve anything they want. Whether that's, you know, their schedule, whether there's music at practice, like they don't all, whatever they want to wear, like they don't always deserve everything they want as a rule. So I have to think, like, am I sure here? Do I have to side with Claypool because he just wants, you know, different environment at practice? And shouldn't he have some right? Shouldn't the employee, the worker, have some right? I mean, Tomlin is not the owner, but shouldn't the person have some right to a little bit less of a stringent atmosphere or rules or something?
I haven't been to a Bills practice in a while now. You know, since we last covered a training camp, and that's a couple of camps ago now. But there's, I mean, I don't know, is summer practice, training camp practice, a lot different than in-season practice? Like, they have a DJ at Bills practice when we're there at St. John Fisher. Like, there's music. I don't know if it's continuous, but it's there a lot.
Yep.
So I don't know what they do. I know when they are going to go play in a loud environment, they will often pipe in stuff to make it harder to hear, to get used to it, and that kind of thing. But I guess I don't know if during the week there's just music bumping through the practice just for the same purpose that's there in the summer. So I don't know. It doesn't sound like an outlandish request to me to have music playing while you're practicing.
When the Bills are playing the Steelers, they play the Steelers music. They play Renegade.
Right. Renegade by Styx. Right.
And that was considered a master stroke. For my money that night, the smarter move by the Bills was getting Duck Hodges to be the Steelers quarterback. But
I think that
you could
was
also,
impactful.
You could either attribute the win to that or to the fact that they had rehearsed, you know, that song. Steve is next. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, Shope, I am one of the 18 people in Western New York that have been to all three of those games as well. One fact from the 79 game, 10-7, and you can look it up. I've looked for the YouTube. I can't find it myself either. Is Pat Hayden, I believe, ran in the extra point to tie the game. Back then it was only 1 point, and it was a bad snap. He ran it in around the end or something, 7-7, so... Interesting fact there. Only maybe me and you would appreciate that. Was at the 80 game in the stands, didn't charge the field. Did charge the field in 88. I did grab a jet equipment bag for about 1 second and then was tackled by Buffalo security and ran like hell to get the heck out of there. But
bridge too far, the jet bag.
Yeah. I was just looking for something, man. I was a stupid college kid at the time. So.
Good job, Steve. Thank you. Yeah, it was 80 for the Rams, but I don't think I knew the thing about the extra point. But I'm thinking you're right.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. I should have. I ran downstairs at one point here, and I should have. It might be the kind of thing that would get me late coming back if I started trying to find those scrapbooks. Because, you know, this conversation has me thinking about looking through them for the first time in a long time. And it's one of those things that I think I know where they are, but I'm not sure.
So they're not lost?
No.
You're just not sure where it is?
But if they're not on the shelf, I think they are, then they've been moved to a closet in the same room, and there's like a curtain covering the entryway to that closet, and behind there lies who knows what.
Who knows?
I mean, it could just be
maybe it's the thing that's bothering Fred.
Just stacked in there, maybe. Just stuff stacked in there that, like, and if I go in there, like, forget it. Show's over for me. I'm not coming out. Like, I'm just being there.
This is the day to do it. Because you have a dog that is bothered by something in his midst. And, you know, I've got this closet. I might have to look there. And I've got this dog who's not acting properly. Maybe they're connected. Would that be more amazing than the Spider-Man meme point from the beginning?
Maybe it would be. I've ruled out injury. He's flying up and down the other stairs in the house. But the back hall stairs to the back door, as well as the staircase that kind of continues from there, from the kitchen all the way up here to the attic, have just been repainted. And there's a different finish on it, so more of a flat finish as opposed to like a glossy finish. And I don't know, just during a break, I walked out of here and went to turn down to go down that newly painted staircase. He normally would follow me and did not. And I wonder if the work we're having done on those stairs is, along with some other stuff, is what's bothering him. I don't know. But he's not hurt because he's flying around up and down stairs like normal. So it's not like he doesn't want to go down the stairs to the back door because he's hurt. There's no way that's possible.
I'm saying it's a ghost. That's what I'm going with. Yeah. I think that's more likely.
I'm getting a lot. I mean,
maybe that bat that you killed up there.
I don't know. I did kill a bat up here last October. I mean, it's possible.
Animals can be ghosts.
People are coyotes. Do you have deer? And like, I'm in North Buffalo. We do have deer that come like around occasionally, but there's no way a deer would access our yard. And I've never seen a coyote here, so it's not that. I'm not. You know, I don't think I'm in coyote country.
No, definitely not. North Buffalo.
It's more likely to be a ghost than a coyote bothering Fred.
Yes. Well, if there are ghosts, then it would only make sense that animals can also be ghosts.
Here we go.
That's if there are ghosts.
It's a big if.
Mm. It is a big if.
I did get a lot of ghost responses. I wasn't going to mention it because the number of responses that I've received that are guessing ghost and I don't know if people are just, you know, goofing around or if they really think that there's a ghost in my backyard.
Are you putting a poll up asking if ghosts are the biggest if?
Yes.
Spirits, right? Can we make it spirits? It's a more reputable question, or no?
The tweet button has already been hit.
Are ghosts the biggest if?
Yeah.
So good. That's so good. Are ghosts the biggest if? What is the biggest if? Big if. That's a big if right there. If ghosts are real, it's probably a ghost. No, that's a big if. Maybe the biggest.
Yeah.
I have to go vote on that.
I did phrase it a little bit differently, but.
Bills Rams 1980. Nolan Cromwell, who was a safety on the Rams and presumably their holder. Nolan Cromwell run for that PAT. So the caller's right. Different player, but yep. Looks like that's how they scored their extra point after their touchdown in that game. All right. Boy, I am in so many places.
You said you might.
No, let's save that. Let's save that.
All right.
Thinking about Joe and his hockey bet. How about a trivia question? I got an interesting trivia question for you guys. Joe is fielding ghost calls. I want to wait for Joe. The show has reached that stage in its 20th year. We're waiting for the producer to get off the phone so we can have him in our conversation.
What time is it? 20 to 6 here?
Yes.
Has baseball locked out yet?
Midnight.
When is that happening? Midnight?
Yep.
Okay. Wasn't a 4 o'clock deadline or anything? All right.
Someone that is good with that is a dog trainer just called in and said that it is the paint that can throw off their depth perception and they're uncomfortable with their paws.
Uh-huh.
So they're kind of questioning like whether or not they're on solid footing.
Weird is that the both staircases were painted well before this started happening. Like days, 3-4 days, like before Thanksgiving. These staircases were painted, and he's been fine until last night at 10:30. So that seems weird, but I'm not the way he just was with me on the stairs made me think maybe it could be that, but it's weird timing because he was fine getting up and down for like 4 or 5 days until last night. But I appreciate the dog trainer calling. Thank you.
His paws are giving him pause, I was going to say.
Oh, see, now there you go. You don't need the laugh track for that one. That one got me.
You stuck around for that.
The paws are giving him
his paws are giving him pause. All right, you want a fun little Bills trivia question?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for saying. All right, here it comes then. Tom Bliss is the source of this trivia question. Data with Bliss, football data scientist, NFL. See if I can phrase this properly first try. Which school's players account for the highest percentage of snaps among the Bills this year? What college?
Ooh.
Every player, every snap percentage of total snaps, which school is represented the most by the Bills? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
another... I've got the top five.
Is there another Alabama player other than Levi Wallace? It's got to be the best school for this league-wide.
I don't... No one springs to mind.
No.
Alabama was like the first... One of the first schools I would have thought of.
Yeah.
It's not Alabama. Levi Wallace is the only Bills player who went to Alabama. New England's team is Alabama.
Okay.
So are the Steelers,
yeah,
the Ravens, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Eagles, and Washington.
Okay.
Alabama makes up more of their team by snaps taken this season than any other school. But they're not. It's not in the top five for the Bills. It's just one guy.
Okay.
Is that a problem? Should we do a show on whether the Bills need more guys from Alabama?
And their only guy was a walk-on at Alabama.
Right.
Ooh.
It's not even real Alabama.
And undrafted. Undrafted by like the Bills, too.
No, it is.
Not
it
even
is.
Real Alabama?
No, it is. It is. Actually, it's more real, even.
He earned his way on.
Right.
I like that more.
Man, I don't feel like I'm thinking of the big schools, and I don't feel like there's Clemson, Georgia. I mean, Jake Fromm just got plucked off the practice squad, although this question could predate that.
He doesn't play snaps anyway.
Oh, right. He didn't play snaps. You're talking about snaps. Right. Thank you.
Everyone's spread around. Deion Dawkins, Temple, Dawson Knox, Ole Miss. Diggs is Maryland.
Dawkins is not the only Bills player from Temple.
Oh, I have one answer. SMU.
SMU, Sanders and Beasley, third. Dawkins and Tyler Matakevich, Temple, fifth.
Okay.
Yep. You mean, oh yeah, sorry. Dawkins and Matakevich. Okay.
5.7% of snaps this year in total, individual players, all added up, taken by players from SMU. Sanders and Beasley. Temple's 5.4. Thin lines.
All right.
The leader is 8%.
Oh. Milano is Boston College, and so is Tommy Sweeney. Is there someone else?
Ooh. Right, because Sweeney's not going to be a lot. But think about the bar we're hitting here. Dawkins versus Milano will probably be close. And is Sweeney playing more than Tyler Matakevich? Well,
yes.
He plays special teams.
Oh, all right. Those are snaps. Yeah, right.
It's a good thought here, but it is not correct. And those are the only two guys from BC on the roster.
Okay.
So it's not.
Well, thank
it's not
you
BC.
For moving us along. Virginia Tech is Edmonds. Is there anybody else that springs to mind from Virginia Tech?
No.
Not that I can think of. Is there another Wyoming guy on the team right now?
No. Hollister was, right?
Hollister.
The answer is one of at least two schools that have three Bills. Number one and number four are schools with three Bills. That make sense?
Yeah, so four is going to be like three depth players, maybe.
Let me see. Let's see about number two here.
Okay, Micah Hyde is Iowa. Isn't Spencer Brown Northern Iowa? So that's not him.
I don't think we're getting credit for that one.
No, but is there? Is like I don't know where Mitch Morse Iowa? I have no idea. I literally don't know.
Missouri.
College football. Missouri. Okay.
Is there any other Missouri players?
No.
Where are they drafting from?
I
the
know.
SEC?
Should
running they? Backs. Running backs. Moss is Utah. No. Singletary is FAU. No. Burita.
Georgia Southern. Same as the kicker, but not correct.
They have two Georgia Southern players.
Yep.
But one Alabama.
Right. Is that why they've lost four games?
Yep.
One is the kicker who makes everything.
Yep.
All right. I'll tell you that second place is Oklahoma. And that's two players, I think. Cody Ford and Darrell Williams.
Okay.
Fourth.
No clue where Darrell Williams went to school.
Fourth is one of one of the schools with three Bills. Miami. Rousseau. Feliciano. Jaquan Johnson. And the number one school you don't have yet. Although you have mentioned one player who went there.
You said Edmonds. Said Moss.
You'll get it. I mean, you only have till 7, but you'll get it.
I may need it.
it's nice music. This was my number one Spotify song for 2021. Raiders theme. The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along.
Is it Utah?
Swaggering boisterously. No.
Latulale. Latulale, I thought about for that.
Yep. And Moss, but no. Too many inactives.
Do you know where Taron Johnson went to college?
Yes, he went to Weber State.
Okay. Right.
I don't think that's right.
That's also correct.
It'd be amazing if it was number one. Is it amazing that the school is number one?
No, it's pretty gettable, actually. If you went through the starting lineup, you would find two guys, and sometimes three, maybe. You'd find it. You'd get it. Because it hasn't been mentioned yet. You wouldn't get it right away.
Ohio State.
You'd get it by now. Nope. No Ohio State players.
Michigan.
No Michigan players on the Bills. Give up?
Yeah, I'm cooked.
Iowa.
Was Iowa?
You said Micah Hyde.
Right.
Epinesa and Butker.
Right.
Epinesa.
Right.
That was
I didn't know Butker, but Epinesa was gettable. Damn.
I haven't noticed him in 2 months, but
Iowa Hawkeyes.
Still was gettable.
Better represented on the Bills by snaps than any other school. The Lions and Texans are also Iowa number one. Eesh. The Lions, Texans, and Bills?
Yeah, the Bills got all the good Hawkeyes.
We got the class of the
that's why
class.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, boys. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Caller 5 right now is 716-644-9878. Wins a pair of tickets to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra Tuesday, December 21st at KeyBank Center. Tickets on sale now at KeyBankCenter.com. $1 of every ticket sold goes to Oshai Children's Hospital. This was my number one Spotify song of the year, by the way. Amazing. I would like to share this, although I can't or shouldn't name the place. I was at an establishment, an eatery. Oh, I hate that word. An eatery. A restaurant. How about that, Mike? What are you doing?
Way better.
Yeah. I was at a restaurant, and for music, it alternated between a Christmas song and a non-Christmas song. And I thought that was actually really good. Hmm. I liked the back and forth.
I'm not sure I would like that.
You want one or the other?
Yeah.
You want clarity.
What are you doing here? Yeah, I feel like it's the kind of thing that, like, I would have, maybe it would depend on when I walked in. If it was playing a regular song, I might have not really noticed. But as soon as a Christmas song came on, I would have thought, oh, they're playing Christmas music here. And then that would have distracted me the entire time I was there if that wasn't followed by yet another Christmas song and another and another. Like, what are you doing here? Who plays one Christmas song and then a different song?
I liked it.
Well, this place, I guess.
Try it.
No.
If you own a restaurant,
no.
Maybe try
no,
it.
I refuse.
A little bit of back and forth right
it.
There. Yeah, I liked it. Christmas song.
I'm not going to go so far as to say heart. That I will walk out of a place doing it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to seek it out. I'm definitely not going to program my music that way.
I don't think we have Christmas songs going yet in the lobby. We don't have the tree yet either. I wonder if they're going to do that. It's late for no decorations in the building. Every time I sort of think about what music is playing out in the lobby, it's always the Little River Band. It's always the Little River Band. I don't know why. I mean, the anecdotal, right? I don't have a chart. I don't have this is not data with Bliss. I don't have a chart for you because I know it's not always the one group. But it just every time I notice the music lately, I'm like, oh, this is reminiscing by the Little River Band. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The only time that you mentioned the lobby music, and the thing that comes to mind is the one time, I don't remember how long ago it was. It could have been 15 years ago. It could have been 3 years ago. I don't know. That I walked through and heard like a Muzak version of Come As You Are by Nirvana. And I just, I remember it hit me. I was like climbing the stairs and I know what this is. What is, oh man. Why did this need to happen?
Tremendous.
What are you doing? Please, come on, Muzak. Did you have to do this?
You guys want to try it? I mean, it's Nirvana. You guys want to try it? I'm up for it. I think we should. They can always say no. They can always not play it. You guys want to do it? You want to put this down? Let's put this down and see if it, you know, sticks.
Do 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 do.
Might be good. It might be good.
Oh.
All right, we've got the update next. We've got a game next hour, some Sabres next hour, and who knows what else. Look, I mean, I couldn't have told you what was going to happen this last hour. I mean, it was kind of all over the place. So stay tuned to find out. Join us, 803-0550. One thing we've been talking about here and there is our favorite night games, Monday night games, because this one will be, this is a big one. As we know. So if that strikes you, let us know. Give us a call if you like. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with you until 7 here on WGR.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.